This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Nigeria produces so much oil that just the possibility of trouble there affects prices here. Oil first approached $60 a barrel after this summer's threat to the U.S. consulate. The price first hit $50 after another news item from Nigeria. We reported it this way last fall.
NPR's Jim Zaroli joins me now. What happened to cause such a spike?
Well, basically what happened was that a rebel group has declared war on the government of Nigeria, and it has ordered all foreign oil companies to leave the country by October 1st.
That's how we reported last fall's demand, which companies like Shell and Chevron could hardly afford to obey. Today, we continue our series on Nigerian energy by meeting that armed group's leader. Alhaji Dokubo Asare has become a Nigerian political celebrity, even though he denies being part of Nigeria.
I do not consider myself a Nigerian, so I'm not bothered about what Nigerians do. I'm only bothered about the future of my nation and my own future.
When he talks about my nation, Asare means his ethnic group. He wants to separate from hundreds of other ethnic groups to form a new country, which would have a lot of oil. He's far from making that happen, but he's come to personify the fear that Africa's most populous nation could someday break apart. We met Asare in a house that's properly fitted out for a militia leader. It's protected by a high wall and two guard towers. A giant screen television plays in the living room, and when Asare arrives, he's as imposing as the house. He has a massive bald head, a sharp blue suit, and strong words about oil companies in the Niger River Delta.
Americans should know that ExxonMobil is here. Chevron Texaco is here. They're American companies, and they're contributing to the environmental devastation, economic deprivation, and genocide against our people.
Asare's calm can change in an instant, as it does when a member of his entourage starts talking during our interview.
Why now is... Excuse me.
That's quite all right.
I said, everyone should get up!
Seconds afterward, the warlord is speaking as quietly as before. Asare belongs to an ethnic group called Ijaws, and he calls the oil-producing region Ijaw Land. He's a convert to Islam who likes to say that he admires Osama bin Laden. But government officials contend the real fuel of his movement is fuel. Nigeria's presidential spokesman, Femi Fani-Kayode, says Asare is bunkering, tapping oil pipelines.
You know, these guys go there, they say they're freedom fighters or whatever, but in fact what they actually have their eye on is the oil bunkering business. They get the dollars. They use the dollars to buy guns. They use the guns to terrorize the local population. And then they now cash in.
They cannot pin any crime on me. They have not caught me in oil theft.
How do you support the activities of the volunteer force and the political activities that you're involved in?
Yeah, donations from Ijaw people and other Niger Deltans. Donations. The house I'm living in was paid for by people. The cars I drive were paid for by people who are fed up with the system.
Whoever those people may be, their donations financed Asare's side in a series of gun battles in recent years.
In this extremely crowded neighborhood, we're looking across an area of perhaps 50 yards. There were many houses here, and today only the foundations remain, in some places tile floors, in some places concrete, in some places only dirt. These were tightly packed houses, we're told, until August of 2004, when during a night battle they were burned.
One of the houses in a riverside neighborhood called Njamazi belonged to a barber named Victor Elbe.
What are we looking at here?
Yeah, this was my veranda and this was my house.
Your house began here?
Yeah, to this boundary.
Oh, it wasn't even that large.
Just a room, yeah.
Just one room house.
Yeah.
We arranged to meet with one of Asare's former gunmen, a man who goes by the name JP. He works for a peace organization now. But as recently as a few months ago, he says he was in a gang that Asare supplied with guns.
Did you kill anyone?
It was gun that killed, not me.
It was the gun that killed?
Yeah.
Not you?
Yes. gun kill people.
People don't kill people? Many people?
I didn't keep a record, but I know people died.
It was during last year's gang fighting that JP's former boss made his dramatic threat against the oil industry. Dekubo Asare warned oil companies to leave or face a devastating war. That got the attention of Nigeria's president, whose spokesman is Femi Fani-Kayode.
And, you know, it was a mess. And the next thing you knew, they were brandishing guns before CNN and the whole world and telling the world that they were going to secede from Nigeria, which was laughable as far as we were concerned.
Why did the president decide to negotiate?
The president never negotiated with Asare.
There was a meeting, correct?
He was summoned to Abuja and told to behave himself.
Asare has behaved since meeting with President Olusegun Obasanjo. At least for now, Asare is staging demonstrations instead of battles. He's become part of a larger debate over the future of the oil region known as the Niger River Delta. The U.S. Ambassador, John Campbell, says there's probably not a danger of one big ethnic uprising there.
I don't think that's a very realistic picture. What you can have is you can have ethnic conflict here that stops oil production, followed by ethnic conflict there that stops oil production. That can produce an overall atmosphere in which oil companies or the international financial system is reluctant to invest more in the area.
The area's stability depends in part on improving the Delta's economy. The biggest city here, Port Harcourt, is flooded with people from the surrounding swampland. When you're stuck in a traffic jam, a kind of shopping mall arrives on foot. People are selling bathroom scales, watches, books about Bill Clinton, and the real estate board game Monopoly.
Hello.
In this part of Nigeria, the real game is about the hydrocarbons beneath the real estate. And even mainstream political leaders are demanding a bigger share of the oil money. Unlike the warlord Asare, they don't quite call for independence, but they do say anything could happen if the people stay poor. One such leader is Aronto Douglas, an environmental lawyer and state official.
I will not, at this point in time, when opportunity for discussions are being given, favor a breakup.
At this point in time?
At this point in time, because you cannot predict the future. The Soviet Union, nobody would have thought that the Soviet Union will go the way it did.
This summer, Douglas was a delegate to a national meeting about the country's future, and he was among Niger River Delta delegates who walked out demanding more oil money. Femi Fani-Kayode, the presidential spokesman, says the government is happy to talk, but it's irresponsible to talk of independence.
Because if the Niger Delta area were to in any way say they're moving away from that, one, Nigeria wouldn't allow it. It would be crushed overnight. Two, the international community could not handle it because there would be a kind of civil war in Africa that you've never seen before. It's a pipe dream. It's something that people say, well, look, if it comes to, we may be able to do this. It's a political bargaining chip. It is like a sort of intellectual blackmail, but it's a dangerous one.
Dangerous as it might be, the possibility of Nigeria's eventual breakup has been widely discussed in the Nigerian media this summer. The cover of one news magazine featured Dekubo Asare, the militia leader who wants the breakup to start in the oil fields of the Niger River Delta. To see photos and documents about Asare, go to NPR.org. Tomorrow, we'll visit a town that was destroyed after a dispute over oil money. This is Morning Edition from NPR News.
The mood in many communities affected by the Pentagon's base reorganization plan is somber. But in El Paso, there's jubilation. Fort Bliss is slated to nearly triple in size.
We couldn't ask for better.
Fort Bliss, literally, today on All Things Considered from NPR News.